Today's shir is Masecht Ksubas Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotches Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says the Matan Rabbanim. Edim who come, as we've been speaking about in our shiurim, that there's a concept of Kiyum Shtaris, that the shtar that says somebody owes somebody money, a shtar that says somebody bought a certain property, and all these situations, to make the shtar 100% valid, Chazal instituted Kiyum Shtaris, which means that the shtar is certified. Tana Rabbanim. So the Brisa begins to teach us that if Edim come to Beis Din and they say Ksav Yedeinu Zeh, then indeed this is our signature. But Anusim Hayinu Machmas Nefashos, we were forced to sign the shtar because it was a question of Sakonas Nefashos. Psuli Edis Hayinu, they say we were disqualified, Edim. Ketanim Hayinu, we were Ketanim. And this shtar has no other way to be certified other than the testimony of the people who signed it. So on one hand, they're saying they signed it, but on the other hand, they're saying they were disqualified for whatever reason to sign the shtar. Says Rameya, ain't them on the apostle of Rameya. Rameya says they can't be trusted. But Chamayrim, Namonim, we do accept their testimony. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbanim, the Rabbanim who say that we do accept their testimony is understandable. Ketamayu, as we learned in the Mishnah, the concept hapasha asur she pesha hitter. The only way we know that the shtar is a kosher shtar is based on their testimony, and therefore they, at the same time that they're saying it was our signature, the same time they, since the halacha is that. Since they're saying that we need them to testify that this is their signature, we have to accept also when they indicate whatever disqualification they're indicating. But ask the Gemara, El Rameya. Rameya says that we don't trust them. My Tama, why don't we accept what they say? Says the Gemara, Bishlam B'Psuli Edis, in a situation of P'Psuli Edis, when they say that they were P'Psuli Edis, we could understand perhaps Rameya's opinion, because Malva Gufa Meikara, the Malva who writes the shtar, wants to make sure that the document that is being attached to the shtar, the document that we are relying on for the validity of a shtar, for the validity of this loan, should be 100% fine. And Medik Daik or Mechtem, we could be confident that he chose people who are kosher Edim. So when the Edim say that they were disqualified, that is something that we can't accept, because the Malva would have been careful to find somebody, to only have Edim who are kosher Edim sign the shtar. And as Rashi adds, the issue here is not a situation where the Edim are claiming that this loan didn't happen. What they're saying is that even if the loan happened, they weren't qualified to say testimony about the loan. And therefore, if the loan happened, and now the question is, were they qualified, we could be confident that the Malva would have only chosen kosher Edim. But therefore, there are Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, then that if they'll say, well, they're not saying that the transaction happened. If they claim that the transaction didn't happen, so now we don't have this concept, the svara that we just said, that he would have never taken such edim, because to sign on a transaction, if they're claiming that this transaction never happened, says the Rashba and the Ramban. But if they're saying that the transaction never happened, then there's a huge claim against them. How did you sign on a shtar that never happened? So therefore, Rameya says, no matter how, however we look at the situation, we can understand when they say psuli edim, they're not to be believed. Because if the transaction never happened, so how did you sign on the shtar? And if the transaction actually did happen, so we're confident that the Malva would have made sure to only have Edim who could be trusted. But as the Gemara, Ktanim Nami, says the Gemara further, if the Edim said that they were Ktanim, we also could understand Ramey's opinion when he says that they can't be trusted. Because we have what Rav Shimon Lakish taught us, Gamar Ish Lakish, Chazaka. We're confident that ain't Edim Chosim L'Shtar, that Edim would not be signed on a star, Elm Kainasa Begodl, that we're confident that nobody would ever sign on a star that was done by where the parties to the transaction were ketanim. And as the Rishonim explained, just like we're confident that Edim, nobody would sign on a document where the parties to the transaction were Edim, similarly, says Rashi, we're confident that a malva would never take Edim who are ketanim. The Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos says that the Edim, people who are ketanim, know that they shouldn't sign on a shtar. They're not qualified to sign on a shtar. So since individuals who are Edim know that they're not qualified to sign on a shtar, when they claim and they say that they did sign on a shtar, that is certainly something that we cannot accept. Ella, says the Gemara, when they claimed anusim hayon, you know, asked the Gemara, my tama, why don't we apply the concept of pesha asur, pesha hitter, and accept what they say? There, we can't say what we've been saying till now, that the malva is careful to make sure that everything is done properly. Because what these Edom are saying is that they were forced into signing, says the Gemara. Amar of Chizda, Kesav Rameya, Rameya is of the opinion, Edom Sh'amar Lahem, Chismu B'Sheker, that if Edom were told, sign a shtar falsely, because if you don't, Val Tahargu, because if you don't, we will kill you, the loch is at Yahargu Val Yachtum B'Sheker. They should prefer to sign to get killed and not sign. So by signing, what they're saying is that they were Rishoyim, because they weren't supposed to sign. And therefore, as we discussed in our previous year, we now have the concept of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. A person can't say something that by his claim he's a Rasha, and that's why we can't sign. So, as all the Rishonim point out, it seems that Rav Chizda's opinion is that signing, that a person has to be ready to give up his life rather than sign falsely, and by them saying that they didn't give up their life to and sign falsely, that makes him Atzmei Rasha. The Rosh says that, the Rosh asks, that even in a case where somebody is supposed to give up his life, that that's what the halacha requires, we can't call the person a Rasha for not giving up his life. So we have a double question. One question that the Rishonim ask, how can we say that somebody has to give up their life just not to sign a document falsely? And even if that is Rav Chizda's opinion, would somebody become a Rosh if he didn't do it? So therefore, the Rishonim explained that Rav Chizda, of course, agrees that the halacha doesn't require somebody to give up the life instead of signing falsely. But Rav Chizda's opinion was that that was the minig that everybody did. People in those days were so concerned about not signing something falsely, they were ready to give up the life. And since that's the way everybody acted that in those times, the person who says that he didn't act that way, at least that's Pshat in the Havamina, is Meisim Atzmai Rasha. Ask the Gemara Amalei Rava. Says Rava, I can't understand this approach. For why, says Rava? Hashta ilu asu l'kamon l'mluchi. If the Eden would come and ask us, what is our opinion? Amrinu zilich sumu v'loy taktilon. We would tell him, the halacha is that one doesn't have to give up his life just not to sign. Domamar, because we know what halacha is, ein lecha davish ayme b'fnei b'koach nefesh. There's nothing that a person has to give up his life for. Ela avoy dezora, avoy gilerais v'shvichas domam b'lvad. So now, says, asked the Gemara. So hashta, the chasuma, not that they did the right thing, because the right thing is to sign falsely rather than to get themselves killed. Amirlu, and now we have a claim to them. Amai chasimu, why did you sign? The reason, explained the Rishonim, that the halacha is that one is not supposed to give up, not supposed to give up his life, even though it involves a serious avera. The two pshatim. One pshat, the three pshatim. One pshat is because the Torah says v'chai behem, that as much as we're obligated to follow all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, the halacha is v'chai behem. The person has to live, not give up his life. Another pshat is that we learned the concept in Masech the Yuma that it speaks about Chil Shabbos, where the Gemara says Chalal alav Shabbos achas, do something wrong, kedei shiyish meshabbos harbe. And the third pshat that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that when somebody is forced into doing something that something like this, he's considered an oinus. And as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, an individual who is an oinus is not considered that he did an Aveira. And since he's not considered that he did an Aveira, that's why the Aloch is, he's allowed to do it, because he hasn't done an Aveira. Here the Gemara says that a person is supposed to be ready to give up his life unless it's one of the three Aveiras Chamurs. So I saw a very interesting question. We know the Gemara Masechta Soita, Daf Yud Amud Beis says, Noich lo adam shiapel atzma l'toch kivshan eish, a person should be ready to jump into the fire v'yabim p'nei chaveri b'rabim, and not embarrass somebody else. So Tosfos asks right on the spot. So it turns out that not embarrassing somebody is such a serious sin that the halacha is yarg val yavar, he should rather give up his life rather than doing that aveira. So Tosfos asks, so if that's the case, why isn't it, whenever the Gemara mentions it, as in our Gemara, what are the cases of Yaharg Valyavar, why doesn't the Gemara mention that you should rather let yourself get killed than embarrass somebody? So Tosfos answers, because the Gemara there is only mentioning halachas that are explicit in the Torah. Something that's not explicit is not mentioned in the Gemara. But there are many Rishonim that disagree. And the many Rishonim say that, and the Miri says this, and other Rishonim, that as much as embarrassing somebody is a terrible sin and something that somebody should avoid under all situations, still, it doesn't reach the level that person literally has to give up his life instead of embarrassing somebody. Where is this relevant? It's relevant in our sugya. Because our Gemara says that there are three averus that one has to give up his life for. Gila Raish, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah. So now the question is, what will the halacha dictate if somebody was told, embarrass someone, if you will not embarrass that person, we will kill you. What does the halacha dictate? So according to Tosfos, the halacha would dictate that he should rather let himself be killed. According to the Miri and the other Rishonim, the halacha would not dictate that, because it's only the three averus that were mentioned in the Gemara. The opinion of most Paiskim is, as terrible as it is to embarrass someone, it doesn't reach the level that one has to give up his life. Talking about this halacha, when does one have to give up his life, and when does not have to give a life, there are many interesting shilas. One question that the Rishonim debate: if a person is ready to give up his life, even in a place where the Torah doesn't call for it, what is the halacha? So the Torah and Yerudei Simon Kufn and Zion Paskins, Kol Averis, Chutz Megimel Averis, by all Averis other than the three Averis, Sha'oim Leil Adam Shiyavar Leim or Yeharig, where a person is told either transgress these Averis or be killed, Imu Betzina, if it's privately, Yavar Val Yeharig. He should, if it's not a question of Chil Hashem, he should not get killed for it. However, if somebody wants to be machmer and give up his life, even for one of the other averis, the halacha is that Yeshua he may. However, the Rambam and Hilchus Yesodei HaTorah says, Perek Hay Halacha Dalet, Kol Mishenema Bo Yavav Al Yarek, wherever the Torah tells a person to transgress the Aveira and not let himself get killed, V'nerek V'loyavar, and he thought that he's being machmer, and he lets him and he gets himself killed, Hareza Meschai B'Nafshay. The Rambam considers such an individual that he's in the category of a ma'avad atzma ladas. It's considered as if he's committing suicide. And Rabbi Chanan has an explanation for the machlokes of the Rambam and the Torah, why the Rambam says that one should not give up his life under any circumstances like this, and why the Torah says one should be prepared to give up his life. And the Rabbi Chanan explains, everybody agrees, as our Gemara stated quite clearly, that the halacha is that only for the three averis that were mentioned in our Gemara does one have to give up his life, for other cases not. What is the machlokes of the Rambam and Torah? Explains Rabbi Chanan, their machlokes is regarding Kiddush Hashem. The Torah says that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is such a critical mitzvah, which is our primary obligation in this world, a person who's ready to give up his life for other mitzvahs is not doing it because the halacha says you should give up your life for other mitzvahs. Rather, what the person is doing is he's giving up his life for Kiddush Hashem to show how dear to him mitzvahs are. And that's the machlokes of the Torah and Rambam. Is Kiddush Hashem an acceptable reason to give up one's life? So we're back to the Gemara. The question is, why are Edom not trusted when they say Anus Mayinu? Says the Gemara al-Tamdur, Meikur Rav Huna Merav. Tamar Rav Huna Merav, Moed Mishtar Shekosvoy, if the Loiva agrees that the Shtar was written, but he just says that Prati ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai. There's no point to Kiyim a Shtar, because the fact that he admits that this transaction took place and saying Prati, that he's saying that I paid off the loan, and we have maybe a migui that he could have said, well, I could have never admitted that the loan took place. That is not accepted. Once he admits that the shtar is a legitimate shtar, saying, and the shtar is in the hands of the malva, and the fact that the shtar is in the hands of the malva is the greatest indication that it has not been paid, that is a proof that makes the shtar a collectible shtar. Says the Gemara, that's what Ramey is going to explain in our Gemara as well. When the Edom say that this shtar was a good shtar, but they say anus mayinu machmas nefashis, it's similar to the case of the Loiva saying that the transaction was correct, but pirati. And therefore, says the Rameyer, we don't believe them. What will be the Chacham's opinion? The Chacham's opinion will be that even they will hold in a case a moed b'shtar shekosvoy, in a case where the loiva admits that the transaction took place, but he says pirati, he'll say that the loiva, as we just said, has a migui, because he could have said that it didn't take place, and that's why the rabbanon hold in that case the shtar would not be a collectible shtar. And similarly, in this case, the rabbanon's opinion is that the Edom would be trusted. And now the Gemara goes into that halacha. Says the Gemara, Gufa Amar Rav Huna Marav, Moed B'Shtar Shekosvoy, if the loiva admits that this transaction took place, but he says, Pirati, I paid it off, the halacha is, Ain't Tzarech L'Kaimai, the shtar is a collectible shtar. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Genuve Genuve L'Amalach, why do you say this halacha as if everybody agrees? The way we just learned in the Gemara, that this halacha is actually the subject of a machloikus of Rameya and the Rabbanan. And this opinion only represents the opinion of Rameya. And furthermore, he said to him, Isvirla Rameya, you have a right to follow the opinion of Rameya. So Ema, so then you ought to be explicit and say halacha Rameya. Amrlei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, Omar hechi svirlei, what is your opinion? Do you disagree? Do you indeed task like the Chachamim that Moed B'Shtar Shekosvoy Tzarchel Kaimoy? Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, that is indeed my opinion. I disagree with Rav. And he said, Ki Osla Kamon Ladino, if such a din Torah would come to us, Amrinu Zil Kamay Shtarechu, I would tell the Malva, bring Edim, have a different method how to certify Ishtar and Chusuladinu, and then come to din Torah. Rashi explains that that's what he would tell the Malvim, that if the Malvim, he would always tell the Malva, what you ought to do is find somebody that could certify the shtar. Because once you could find somebody who could certify the shtar, then the loiva can't do any harm to you. So Rafla asks a wonderful question. He says, our Gemara had Rav Nachman ask Rav Huna, if you hold like Rav Meir, you should have said that I hold like Rav Meir. So why over here, when Rav Nachman is paskling like the Rabbanan, does the Gemara not say to Rav Nachman, if you hold like the Rabbanan, say like the Halach is like the Rabbanan? Here we don't find that question. So the flaw answers that what the Gemara is teaching us is a chiddush. That not only does Rav Nachman hold that if the loiva is saying that this transaction took place, but I paid off, then if we don't have independent certification of the shtar, we will listen to the loiva's claim. But Rav Nachman's taking it a step further. Rav Nachman's saying the right thing that a malva should do is always get his shtar certified. By getting his shtar certified, then he, even before the loiva comes with any claims, he solves many problems. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Hoy mishtar ha-manazah. Somebody comes and says that this shtar was not really a loan that took place. The purpose of the shtar was, he gave the malva shtar, that he said to him, I anticipate that I'm going to need to borrow money from you, and I know you that as an honest person, and I know you're not going to come ask me for money unless I actually borrow for money from you, and therefore I gave you the shtar. And the Edom say that this is the type of shtar. So the question that many Rishonim, the Tosfos Rid, asks, if everybody is agreeable to such a shtar, why does the Gemara say that Ein Neman, somebody's not trusted that way, as if there was something wrong with the shtar? If the Malva and the Loiva were agreeable, so why was there anything wrong done here? And because of this question, the Tosfos Rid has an entirely different pshat in this Gemara. One pshat, the Tosfos Rid says, there were people who wanted to look wealthy. So how does a person accomplish that he should look wealthy? If he has a lot of accounts receivable, that's a proof that he's a wealthy person. So he used to go to people and ask them, write shtaris as if you owe me money, so I should look like a wealthy person. That is the kind of shtar that should not be written. And that's why Edom who said it, as we're going to learn in the Gemara now, might have done something wrong. The Shita says a different pshat. He says that the Gemara here is speaking about that even if he's intending to borrow money, but the date of the shtar is today, and if the loan did not take place yet, this would be considered a situation of a shtar mukdam, a shtar that's predated. That the halacha is a shtar mukdam is possible, and that's why they shouldn't have written it. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that the loiva was the one that volunteered to write the shtar, but he wrote the shtar without the consent of the malva. And therefore, even though he's doing a favor for the malva, you may not write such a shtar without his consent. Says the Gemara, become a man. So we're saying that when somebody comes and says, shtar manuzeh, we're not going to trust the person. Ask the Gemara, exactly the common man, exactly who is making this claim. Elam the common loiva, if it's the loiva that's making the claim, pshita, kol kamine, of course the loiva is going to say something like this to not have to pay what he has to pay. Ella the common malva, says the Gemara, that it's the malva. It's the malva that says it. So if the malva is saying shtar hamono, and he's admitting that there really was no loan, so why is there a problem? Tavala bracha, fantastic. He's a very honest person. Says the Gemara, el de kamer edim. The edim are the ones that say it. So ask the Gemara, idik sav yodim yotzei makom acher. As we described in our previous shiur, there are a number of ways how to make kiyum shtaros, how to certify shtar. So we could have their signatures recognized, not through their testimony, pshita delay mehemni, because that we don't need their testimony, and this we don't have any pesh also pesheta here. Vida inksa, and just to accept what they say, because they're coming and offering this testimony, we certainly won't believe what they say, because we have the concept of kivichigid shavena chayzim emagid. On the other hand, if this is the only way that we get the shtar certified, so my lemehemni, why don't we trust them? Isn't this a case of pesha also pesha hitter? Says the Gemara Simon Bash. Amar Ravel Oilam the Kama Loiva. The case here is that the Loiva says that I was indeed party to this transaction, but I'm indicating to shtar amona. And the reason we don't except the Leiva's claim, is as we discussed earlier in our shir, as Rav Huna, Rav Huna, whenever we have a case of Moed B'shtash HaKosvoy, Ein Tzarech L'Kaimoy, that if the Leiva admits that the transaction took place, but then he has another claim attached to it, Parati, or Al Gemara, where he says Shtar Amona, the halach is we don't trust him. Abai Oim L'Olam the Malva. It was the Malva who's making the claim. If the Malva's making the claim, so the Gemara asked, Tavav Abracha, he's a tzaddik making this claim. Says the Mar, he's not such a tzaddik. It's talking about a case, Kigon Shechav Lacherim. He owes other people money. Reb Nosson. And we have here the famous Shibud of Reb Nosson. The Tanya, Reb Nosson, I'm Yamnayin, Noish B'Chavreiroi. Mona. Ruvain says that Shimon owes him $100. B'Chavreiroi. And Shimon, and Levi owes Shimon $100. Menayin Shemetzim Mezev Neislin Lezeh. How do we know that Levi pays Ruvain directly? Tamaloyma, the Pasuk says, when somebody stole from somebody else, and then he swears falsely that he didn't. The Torah says, V'heshiv es ha-shama b'roishoy v'chamish asa yosef alav v'nosan la'asha amaloy. And the fact that the Torah says v'nosan la'asha oshem loy, instead of saying v'nosan la'asha hoveyu, give the money to who you borrowed from. From here we see that sometimes your obligation to pay is not necessarily to the person who you borrowed from. It could be somebody else. Like in the example that we gave, where Levi borrowed money from Shimon, but his obligation to repay is to Reuven. So here in our case, where Shimon is the malva, and Shimon says, well, it's a shtar amona, he's not being such a tzaddik, because he's being a tzaddik on Reuven's expense. Because like this, if he wouldn't have said shtar amona, Levi would have paid Reuven. By him saying shtar amona, the halacha is he's going to be paying, he would have to pay Reuven, and with Shimon's claim of shtar mana, Reuven loses out. So many Rishonim and Achronim ask, what's the need for the Torah to teach us this chiddush of Shibuda to Reb Nosson? We know if Shimon owes money to Reuven, all of Shimon's possessions are mortgaged to Reuven for payment of the debt. And the shtar choiv, the loan document that says the Levi owes him money, is part of his assets that are now mortgaged to the debt. So what is Reb Nosson teaching us that is such a big chiddush? So there are many different answers. The Ran answers that a loan document is not considered something that's mortgaged to a debt. Because a loan document is ain gufay mamon. It has no intrinsic worth, and therefore it's not considered money and property. The only assets, says the Ran, that are mortgaged to a debt are money or property. Comes Reb Nosson with this pasuk to teach us that even a loan document is considered mortgaged to a debt. The Tzois answers, the minatar only possessions which are in the debtor's possession at the time of the loan are meshubed for the payment of the loan. So if Shimon borrowed money from Reuven because he lent money to Levi, then the deed that the $100 note that Levy gives to him at a later date, which wasn't in existence when that loan took place, would not be meshubet to Reuven. Comes along Shibud Reb Nosson, that makes that loan document between Levy Shimon payable to Reuven. The Tzoyis gives a different explanation. He says that if Shimon offers to pay Reuven $100 cash for the payment of his debt, Reuven would not be entitled to refuse the payment and say, well, I don't want to take the $100 from you. I'd rather take property that Levy owes you. I'd rather take the property Levy owes you. And Shimon could say, you have no right to go to that property. I'm giving you the $100 cash that I owe you. Says Shibud the Reb Nosson, the Levy is considered as the individual who owes Reuven the money. And just like Reuven, just like Shimon could pay Reuven, Reuven has the equal right to go after Levi's property. The Ritva gives a different explanation for Shibud the Reb Nosson. He says, if Levi owes Shimon money, so if somebody owes somebody money, he always has the right to be meichel the loan, to forgive the loan. Shibud the Reb Nosson says that it's not Levi who owes Shimon money. And if Levi owes Shimon money, Shimon always has the right to forgive the debt. What's happening here in the Halacha, says the Ritva in explaining the Shibud the Reb Nosson, what happens here is that Shimon, the Halacha views it as if Shimon owes, as if Levi owes the money to Reuven. And Shimon is not a party anymore here. Since Shimon is no longer a party here, Shimon has no right to, has no ability to forgive that loan. Rav Ashi again trying to explain what is the case with the Shtar Mona. Loilam the Kamri Edom. We're speaking about a case that the Edom said that it's a Shtar Mona. And it's also a situation, there is no other way to certify the Shtar. So the question was, of the Kamer at the Ma'ilam HaHemni, why are the Edom not believed with the Pesha or Pesha Hitter? Says the Gemara, Kidr Rav Kahana, based on what Rav Kahana taught us. Dom Rav Kahana, Oslo Adam Shish Shtar Mona B'Toich Beisai. A person may not keep in his property a Shtar Mona. Shenemar, Yishum Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Eiv says, Atashkein Ba'olecha Avla. You're not allowed to keep in your possession something which is wrong. And Shtar Mona, given the explanations we gave earlier in our shir, is something that's improper, inappropriate, and Edom who say that they were party to it are doing Mesim Atzma Rosha. As Rav Ashesh Breder Avidi taught us, Shmamin Rav Kahana, Edom Sh'amru Amona Yedvereinu, Edom who say that we signed an Shtar Amona, Ein Amonim, we don't trust them. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the reason? Kivin the Avlahu, as the Gemara just described, a Shtar Amona is a avla, an avla loichasmi. And when they said that they signed such a shtar, it goes back to what we explained in the previous shir, ain other meisim atzma rasha, just like a person who says, I signed the shtar for payment, is not trusted because he's saying that he did the wrong thing. Here too, by saying this, he's a rasha, and Edom are not trusted to say that. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, when somebody pays off the shtar, what you're supposed to do is rip it up. And somebody holds such a shtar in his house, and his possession is doing the wrong thing. Even in a situation where the loiva knows that the malva is a trustworthy person, and the malva would never use a shtar that was already paid for collection, it's wrong to hold on to it. And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained two reasons. First of all, sometimes people forget and they won't remember that this shtar was paid up. Or there's a situation where the malva passes away and his yorshim, not knowing this history, have this shtar in their, find his shtar amongst his documents, and they'll come to collect with it. Mishum shenemar, and the Torah says, the Pasuk says, we're not allowed to keep al tashkim v'alecha avla. Says the Gemara, but my Rav Shmei the Rav Amri, they explain the pasuk that says, "Im oven b'yedecha chakikeyu." If somebody has something that's wrong, distance yourself from it. says shtar amona. It refers to the shtar avona. As we explained, if there was no transaction, don't write such a shtar. The shtar peusim. Again, as we explained earlier, people want that people should think that they're wealthy, and they have people write accounts receivable. Al tashkin ba'alecha avlo, shtar perua. That's referring to hold on to shtar perua. So the Gemara at this point assumes that we've spoken about two types of shtaris, shtar amunah v'shtar perua, and the Gemara is assuming now that the Bnei Bavel are disagreeing with the Bnei Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael held that you're not allowed to hold on to both types of shtaris. And the Bnei Bavel, says the Gemara, learn from Atashkein b'alecha avlet shtar amunah. And Yeshua ben Levi learns from that pasuk that it's shtar perua. Says the Gemara, man d'amar Yeshua ben Levi, who says that this pasuk of atashkein b'alecha avla is referring to shtar perua, koshkein shtar mono may not be held onto. Man d'amar shtar mono. Rwanda says Rav Kahana, who says that the pasuk is referring to shtar mono, he'll hold avla shtar perua loy, but a shtar perua you could hold onto. Why could you hold on to a shtar perua? Could the zimda mashle pshita de safra? The halacha is that when there's a loan transaction between a malva and a loiva, the obligation to pay the soifer, the lawyers, or whoever who arranged the shtar is really on the loiva. But sometimes the loiva has no funds, and the malva lays out, not only does he lend the money that he's lending, but he even lays out the money for the soifer. And now the loiva paid up the loan, but he didn't pay back the malva what he laid out for the cipher. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with holding on to a shtar perua according to Rav Kahana's opinion. Itmar, the Rama says, the kshem she also lahash shtar perua, just like a person is not allowed to hold on to a shtar perua, the simile also gam lish shtar shenim chal shibudai. Sometimes, as we know, all of the loiva's assets are mortgaged. But sometimes a malva could be generous and say that even though you owe me the money, I'm not going to mortgage all your assets. So Rama says, since every shtar automatically really includes a chrayis nechasim, every shtar includes that all of one's assets are mortgaged. So if that's not the case, you're not allowed to hold on to say such a shtar. The shach disagrees, and the shach says that since the money is still owed, even though the shibud nechasim, the chrayis nechasim, has been forgiven, that's not a reason that you have to give up the shtar. Itma sefer shenemuga. We have a sefer that's not written properly. Omer av ami atshloish miyoy mutla shaysoy. For 30 days, you're allowed to hold on to it. Mikam ve'elach, but afterwards also l'shaisa, you can't hold it onto it. Shem shenemar, the pasuk says, al tashkin ba'alecha avla. One is not allowed to hold on to something which is an avla. So the Ritva explains, since the pasuk uses the word tashkin, don't live, 30 days is the time that till 30 days, it's not considered you're living somewhere. But once 30 days pass, it's considered that you're shoychin, and you're not allowed to have living by you a shtar. Another pshat that the Shita quotes is the word al is gematria 31, lamed aleph. And what the pasuk means to say is up to day 31, you could hold on to it. But after 30 days, you can't hold on to it. So the Yaivitz explains, why is that the halacha? So explains the Yaivitz because we have to give a person a chance to have the Sefer Torah fixed. So up to 30 days, we give the person that opportunity. After that, the Rambam says that similarly, you're not allowed to have in your possession a Sefer Torah that's apostle because people may come to read from it and it's apostle Sefer Torah. But says the Noida Behuda, if you have a way that everybody could recognize that this Sefer Torah is apostle, then you could hold on to it. And that's why we know the minig is that a sefer Torah that's posel, so instead of putting the gartel inside the Sefer Torah, we put it outside the Sefer Torah. That's the accepted simon that this Sefer Torah is possible. There's a question, which svarim are included? Everybody agrees that a Sefer Torah, as we just explained, you're not allowed to hold on if it's possible. The question is, Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Since Nevi'im and Ksuvim are not like Sefer Torah, the person is Yoytze Kriyas HaTorah with them, most Rishonim are lenient. When it comes to other Sfarim, the question really depends, are these Sfarim that somebody could end up using in an improper fashion and make a mistake based on what it says that in them? If that is the case, then the halacha is that you can't hold on to such a Sefer. If it's not that type of a Sefer, where a person can make a mistake based on holding on to such a Sefer Torah, then the halacha is more lenient. Amar Rav Nachman, Eidim Sh'amar HaMonah Hayu Devarenu. If Eidim come and say that the shtar to which they signed was a shtar HaMonah, Eina Monah, they're not trusted. Ma'ida Hayu Devarenu, a case where they were told to write the shtar, but the person who told them to write the shtar says, I really don't want, it's a sale document. And he says, I really don't want to sell this property. I'm doing this under duress. Also ain't a monim. Ma'abar of Hashi Omer. A monim ha'y dvarenu. If the Edom say a monim ha'dvarenu, ain't a monim. Ma'idai ha'dvarenu. But if they declare that this is what happened with him as a shtar ma'idai and a monim. Ask the Gemara. My tama. Why are we differentiating between a shtar ha'mono and a shtar and a shtar maida? Says the Gemara, nitin l'kasev. A person has a right to sign a shtar maida. They're doing the right thing in helping to protect the malva. V'haylo nitin l'kasev. That they had no right to be signed a shtar amana. And if they signed it, it's like we mentioned earlier in our shir, it's a case of mesim atzma rosha. B'amnei Rava Marach Nachman. If the Edom said, t'nai hayu dvarenu, that the seller, the buyer, the seller said that we're only selling this property, we're only going through this transaction if a certain condition was met. My, are they believed or not? Says the Gemara, Maidav Amono, hai in tama, when they claim Maidav and Amono, the reason they're not believed, the ka akwe lil shtara. They're really this making the shtar ineffective. V'hai nami, by saying there was a condition attached to this transaction, and if they're saying there was a condition attached to the transaction, and if the condition wasn't met, then the transaction doesn't happen. So kakrul ishtara. Adelma, or perhaps we could say, tanai milsachritahi, saying that there was a condition doesn't affect the validity of the shtar. The shtar is a good shtar. The tanai is a separate issue, and therefore, since it doesn't invalidate the shtar, that's why it should be believed. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav, ki osel kamon ladina, when such a dentira comes to him, and they say, tanai ha'advrenu, aminu zilu kama tanaichu, we believe what the Edom say, and we tell the parties, fulfill the conditions, the chusel ladina, and afterwards we could have a dentira. Says the Gemara, Eiram Tanai, one aid who signed the shtar says that there was a condition attached to this transaction. The aid, Omer, and the other aid says, Ein Tanai, there was no condition in this attached to the shtar. What is the halacha? Omra Papa, Tavai b'shtayim ha'alikum asadi. First, let's look for the common ground. The common ground is that both of these aidim are saying that this is a valid shtar. V'hai dekama Tanai, and the aid that's saying there was a condition attached to this transaction, Havlechad, is only one aid. And we know that the halacha teaches us, Vein dvarav shal aid, echad b'makom shnayim, an aid echad is never accepted. Maskel of Hunabred of Yeshua, Yochi, if that's the case, afilo tavayinami, even if both aidim say, Tanai hayu dvarenu, this shouldn't be believed. Because since in the shtar, there is no mention of this condition, so the shtar is valid. Ella, why do we say that the Edom are trusted? The Edom who are verifying and certifying the shtar are also at the same time saying that there was a Tanai. And therefore, we should believe them, even though they're saying something that is contrary to the shtar, because the Tanai is not part of the shtar. And therefore, by saying there was a Tanai, they're not invalidating the shtar, they're not making themselves into Rishoyim. So therefore, if the case is that, and therefore they're trusted. So the same thing should be if you have two people who signed in a shtar, and one says, just certifies the signature, and the other one says there was a Tanai, so even though he's not invalidating the shtar, but with the Tanai invalidates the shtar, and therefore it should be an issue, says the Gemara. Indeed, that's the halacha, Hilchos Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, that if one aid says that there was a Tanai, and one aid says there was no Tanai, either certify the shtar without that aid, or if you can't certify the shtar without that aid, you have to fulfill the condition, otherwise the shtar is not a shtar that you could just rely on.